Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of our Lord today from the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, Ezekiel is an Old Testament prophet who lived about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. 600 years. At that time, the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, is already dead and gone. The 10 northern tribes had been conquered by Assyria 150 years earlier, scattered across the face of the earth. Now, the southern tribes are now captive in Babylon, far from the rubble that was once Jerusalem. This is how nations and peoples disappeared in the ancient world. Conquered, defeated, Israel is about to join the list of the unknowns and the forgottens. Ezekiel is the prophet called by God to speak to the remnant of Israel held captive in Babylon. And one would think that it would be his job to put the nation to bed and say goodnight. All that God gave them is gone because of their own stubborn refusal to follow his word. Their king had been deposed. Their city had been flattened. The most horrific of all is the temple, the symbol of God's presence among them, had utterly been destroyed. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, the Lord declares to Ezekiel that he has different plans for his rebellious people, this broken remnant. Even if they have been faithless to him, he will not forget his covenant promises for them or for you. So the Lord gives Ezekiel his message by means of a vision of a valley of bones. Not just bones, but very dry bones, very dead bones that haven't been alive for a long time. Compared to these, Lazarus in the tomb in our gospel reading is barely dead at all. The Lord asks Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says what faith says, O Lord God, you know. The Lord does know. These bones will live again. He tells the prophet to preach to the bones, to prophesy to them, to speak to the bones and tell them that the Lord will make them alive once again. Those bones can't do anything, but the Lord of life can. And so Ezekiel says what God tells him to say. He prophesies, he preaches, and as he does, the bones rattle together, growing sinews and flesh. The process of death is reversed, and soon they are whole bodies once again, a miracle in itself. But that's not enough yet. They're still dead because they have no breath. Like Adam of old, they still need God to breathe life into them. So God tells Ezekiel to prophesy again. The prophet does so, and the breath comes. The spirit comes into the bodies. They breathe and they live and they stand on their feet. What does it all mean? Well, the Lord explains the vision. He says to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Against all odds, Israel will continue. The people have given up hope. They believe that their nation is gone. But the Lord says differently. He will give life to the nation. He will bring the people back to their land. He will raise them as a people from death and forgottenness to life, to be a blessing to all people. A few lessons to keep in mind as Good Friday and Easter are drawing near. First of all, this vision is first and foremost about the resurrection of a nation, the return of Israel to Jerusalem before the birth of Christ. This was fulfilled at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. You can read their stories in the Old Testament. It didn't happen right away, but the Lord kept his promise in his time. It wasn't just for them that he did that. It was also for you. You see, the Lord had to bring Israel back so that a virgin might conceive and bear a son born in a little town called Bethlehem. It was necessary that Jerusalem and the temple be rebuilt so that Jesus might enter the city triumphantly and be led outside of its walls to a cross. Simply put, the Lord raised that nation from the dead in Babylon so that he might raise you from the dead for the sake of Christ. Second, God does it all. Dry bones can't make themselves alive, and it's only the Lord who gives them life again. People of Israel could not restore themselves as a people. It was the Lord himself who brought them back and made them a people again. And so it is with you. God does it all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 begins this way. It says, "And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you walked." And worse than the bones of Ezekiel's vision, you'd never been alive in the first place. Dead. But the Lord makes the dead alive. Because Ephesians chapter 2 goes on to say this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." That's from Ephesians chapter 2. You see, this is not your own doing, but his. This is good because he gets the job done for sure. The dead can't make themselves alive anyway. Even if you could, you'd always have to wonder if you really had done it. After all, sinners often think that they're alive when they're still dead in sin. But because God makes you alive, your life in him is certain as Christ's death on the cross for you. It's not a resurrection to a life of slavery and groveling, but a seat in the heavenly places and the immeasurable riches of his grace. It is a gift, all for the sake of Jesus. Third, because of Jesus, God's word that resurrects a nation in Ezekiel is for you too, not as a nation, but as an individual. Because Christ has died for your sins and is risen again, the Lord now promises you, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the promised land of heaven. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I have put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in heaven forever. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is a greater promise, for the mighty Babylonians were powerless when compared to the grave. Even a captive in Babylon could still have some sort of life, even if his nation was erased from the earth. But death provides no such luxury. As the wages of sin, it takes all and permits nothing. But Christ has conquered death. He has taken the greatest enemy captive. And now he says to you, I will open your graves. And I will raise you from your graves because you are my people. What comfort this is for you when you face death. A comfort for you when it is given you to mourn those who have died in the faith. The Lord is faithful to his people. He will raise them up from their graves. One final thing, fourth. While the Lord spoke life to dry bones and deliverance to Israel, he did it through the prophet Ezekiel. And that's profound and significant. This message is not rare or far away, but the Lord entrusts this word to his church, and he calls upon his people to proclaim it over and over again, continually. He would have this be the most commonly known news among people. This good news called the gospel, he calls upon pastors to preach it publicly, consistently. But that's not all. He entrusts this news to each one of us, each one of his people, so that they might tell others that Christ has conquered death and that they too might be delivered from their graves and have eternal life. Every time people hear this good news, this gospel, the Lord is declaring to them, I have died and risen so that I might open up your grave and give you eternal life. What a privilege. He doesn't have to, but the Lord gives to his people, to you, the joy of declaring his deliverance to all. Now, when you do that, many people will reject the message, some believing it's too good to be true, that their bones are dried up, their hope is lost, and they are indeed cut off, like many in Israel felt. Many Israelites in Babylon rejected the Lord's promise when Ezekiel proclaimed it. Many would not make the trip back when God kept his promise. But their unbelief did not make the promise any less true. And so it is today. The Lord does not force this life on anyone, but his promise remains true to all who believe and will be saved. Many will ignore the message because they consider it too common to have any real value. Sadly, proclamation of the gospel grows rarer than people think these days as other messages replace it, while sleepy Christians don't realize it. But even where the gospel is proclaimed often, its commonness and familiarity is no proof that it is of little value. That's the devil's argument. But rather, because sin and death constantly threaten, the Lord continually assures you that you are his, you belong to him, he has died and risen again, to give you eternal life. So, dear friends, I proclaim to you this day, thus says the Lord, for Jesus' sake you are my people. For Jesus' sake I will open your graves. For his sake I have placed my spirit upon you. I will raise you up, says the Lord, and I will place you in my kingdom of heaven. You will live forever, because your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.